We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Zuckerman. His new book is A Shot to Save the World, the inside story of the life or death race for a COVID-19 vaccine taking place over many decades, certainly here over all of the 21st century so far. The methodology of RNA, not proved yet, but it's the methodology that Moderna is following. Now we go to a genius, a man who is gifted, enormously gifted. His name is Dan Baruch. He is so gifted that his colleagues working with him at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center and elsewhere come up with an adjective meaning Baruchian, that your style is Baruchian. Gregory, what do we need to know about Dan Baruch and how eventually he will come to Johnson & Johnson?
So we talked about mRNA, and there were people like Ben Sell and Moderna spending years working on that and improving that approach. But there was another approach at the same time that other scientists around the world were trying to improve and hone, and it was also controversial, and that's what Dan Baruch was doing. It was an approach using a virus, taking a virus and using it as a vaccine, as the basis of a vaccine. And what Dan Baruch did is use something called Ad26. It's a harmless cold virus. And you say, well, why would you inject a virus in your body to heal, to teach the body as part of a vaccine? Well, they changed the composition, the chemical composition of this Ad26 virus. Baruch was able to make it harmless. So it's a harmless virus. And the idea being you're going to shepherd in a genetic message. The virus is going to be injected in the body, and it's going to carry a message. And what's that message? It's going to tell the immune system to create a protein. And he was focused on HIV. And the whole idea was to create a protein, an HIV protein in the body. And you saw and say to yourself, well, what's the point of that? Well, it's to teach the immune system to identify that protein. And then if the body ever encounters that protein, the real thing, as part of the real virus, the HIV virus in Baruch's case, then the body will fight it off. So it's an education. That's what a vaccine is, education. And Baruch was convinced that using this harmless virus, Ad26 it was called, he could create a vaccine that would protect the body from HIV.
So he's pursuing a vaccine for AIDS. He also, along the way, deals with Ebola. They're pursuing a way to vaccinate against Ebola. They've got a mission that they can't complete. It's enormously frustrating to them, but we need to spend a moment about Dan Baruch as an example of all of these personalities. These are very gifted people who are difficult colleagues, difficult students, difficult in the world because of their perfectionism. Gregory, are they aware that they're extraordinary human beings who are difficult to get along with? Do they accept it as part of the, what you'd have to say, what you give up in order to get to be a genius?
I don't think they're self-aware, frankly. And you and I are on the outside, and I make these observations, but they're brilliant, but they're not the most self-aware types of people. And Dan Baruch is driven, he's ambitious, he's creative, he's the best. He's what you want in a scientist. The perseverance is remarkable. But he's not necessarily somebody you want to have a beer with, John. He's not, as I said, self-aware. He's driven, though. That's what you want. He in his whole life, has been dedicated to developing a vaccine for AIDS. He may not be the kind of person you want to schmooze with over a six-pack, but that's okay, too.
He had me when I learned that he practices violin every day for philosophy's sake. It's wonderful.
At, like, 5 in the morning, yeah. This be well before everybody else is turning over and getting ready to get up. He's practicing violin. And he does it with his daughters right now, early in the morning. He's an impressive guy.
He also has feuds that last for a long time, and the feuds are over something that you wouldn't notice. It's whether someone disagrees with the conclusion you've come to or thinks you've made a mistake. These are perfectionists. So let's go to another personality, very similar from another culture. This is Uyghur Shaheen and Aslam Tureci. These are two scientists originally from Turkey working in Germany. Shaheen and Tureci have an idea also for pursuing vaccines, pursuing solutions to AIDS, but they're using the messenger RNA route, I believe. I think I have this correct. Gregor will correct me if my notes are scrambled here. However, they work independent of reality, as far as I can tell. The one who touches Earth is Tureci, Mrs. Shaheen, but Shaheen doesn't seem to be aware that he's obsessed. Is that correct? I mean, the investor class puzzles about him as well.
These are quirky, interesting scientists, and they have interesting backgrounds as well. So Uyghur Shaheen, he was born in Turkey. His family moved to Germany when he was young, and he spent decades on cancer research, and he had the belief, and he still does, that the immune system can be taught to fight off cancer, and his whole life is dedicated to cancer research and developing vaccines for cancer. And frankly, it hasn't worked yet. He started this company called BioNTech, and one of the methods they were using to teach the immune system was using mRNA. So Majerdan was all about mRNA. mRNA was one of the methods that BioNTech and Uyghur Shaheen were working on. And he's just a quirky individual, like you said. Fast forwarding just a little bit, he's very wealthy today, but he continues to live in an apartment with his wife. He doesn't own a car. He doesn't own a television. He schleps piles and piles of paperwork, of scientific papers, even his computer, forget about laptop, his hard drive. They send everything on vacations with them and lug them into the pool. These people are all about research. They're really not about getting wealthy. They're about solving the biggest challenges mankind faces, including cancer. So they got nervous about COVID. They've been working on this mRNA. They said, maybe we can be the ones to develop a vaccine. They turned on a dime when other people dragged their feet.
Yes, I want to emphasize, however, they were pursuing cancer as Baruch was pursuing AIDS.
Yes.
Moderna was pursuing drug therapies. In other words, nobody was pursuing the line eventually they will follow in order to solve COVID-19. Another thing about Shaheen and Tureci is they need money, and they're not experienced the way Bansal is about raising money. So they find a family. Is this the Strongmans of Germany? Is that how you say their name, the Strongmans?
Yes, Thomas Strongman, yes.
And who believe in them. They're billionaires, and they believe in them, and they give them money. But even they grow frustrated with Shaheen and Tureci's style. Why so? What did they do? They today congratulate them for being so odd?
Yes. But one can understand these companies that I write about, and these scientists, none of them had ever proven their methods by late 2019, and they've spent years on honing and improving and advancing, but without much proof that they had vaccine approaches that were modern and new and different and would work. And it made sense that their own investors were getting a little frustrated, and that was true of Moderna, that was true of BioNTech, that was true of all the different approaches that I write about. So it makes a lot of sense. They spent years, they told everyone, you know, Stefan Bansal said to investors, hey, we've got the method that's going to save the world, and then everyone was like, yeah, right. We doubt you, we doubt Moderna, and we doubt mRNA, and they doubted Uyghur Shaheen and Aslam Tureci and BioNTech as well.
And the doubts persist. This is the investor class, and Gregory also works for the Wall Street Journal, but he's not a composing wonderful books. And the market is watching all of this, not because of COVID. That will come up later in this century, but because the drugs or the therapies or the vaccines they're developing have potential, but not all of them do in the same fashion. So you have to, when you form a lab, you have to be conscious of where you're going to get your money. And a subplot of Gregory's book is how Big Pharma works. Big Pharma is really just a compilation of little pharma ideas, not unlike Silicon Valley. You have a great idea, and you either later on will sell it to Microsoft or Facebook, or you'll stay solitary and develop it on your own and hope other colleagues come in with you. Now we go to another difficult personality, extremely difficult personality. This is at Oxford University, Adrian Hill. What do we need to know about Adrian Hill other than, oh, yes, I know. What is a Marmite personality, Gregory?
Yes. Adrian Hill has been chasing malaria vaccine for years. Again, Dan Baruch chasing AIDS, Ugur Sahin cancer. The particular obsession of this gentleman, Adrian Hill, at the University of Oxford, has been malaria. He also tried to develop other kinds of vaccines. And for years, he made incremental progress, didn't develop any kind of vaccine or drug that worked. And yet, he developed this attitude, this perspective, this confidence that he exhibited left and right. And he got to the point where he was becoming difficult to everyone. He's a very critical individual. He would stand up at conferences and just rip into college peers, their work. How dare you? What are you thinking? This is a dumb idea. He grated on people. Some people were okay with the criticism. Hey, this is a scientific process. We can criticize each other. We're trying to arrive at a correct answer and improve our methods. But other people were taken aback. He was obnoxious. He was really obnoxious and got to the point where he was really unliked in the world of science, and yet he was pretty convinced he was making progress. He and his colleagues were making an approach, and their approach was a little bit like Dan Baruch's in Boston. The Oxford University approach was using a different virus, not this harmless cold virus that Dan Baruch is using called Ad26, which he used for AIDS, but using Adrian Hill and his colleagues used a chimpanzee virus, believe it or not, a virus that affects chimpanzees. And there's a good reason for it. There's a lot of similarities between us, mankind and humans and chimpanzees, and we have never, because it's a chimpanzee virus, the idea was we've never seen this virus before, so our bodies won't fight it off. It could deliver a genetic payload to the immune system. And Adrian Hill would get up and be obnoxious and offend people left and right throughout the industry. But back in the labs, he was making progress on this really obscure and controversial approach.
I know I'm reading too much into these things, Gregory, because I'm accustomed to reading novels. But it really strikes me that we have a similarity between Adrian Hill and Stefan Bansal and Dan Baruch. I'm not sure as Sahin spends a lot of time with anger, but they're generally explosive individuals when they don't get their way.
Yes, I think it comes with being ambitious, having really high expectations of themselves, but also of their colleagues, and not suffering fools easily. And that you can say of all of them, some are maybe more pleasant and more likable than others. You know, the interesting thing is they're not black and white characters. And as you know from my books, I'm not a fan of black and white characters. I don't think there are too many of them that exist. So Adrian Hill, as hard as he was on people in the industry, and as disliked as he remains to his younger colleagues at University of Oxford, he's actually very supportive and friendly and helpful. So none of these people, and the same thing with Stefan Bansal. Yes, he fires people. Yes, he pushes people. But today, his people find him very inspirational, and he can be very supportive as well. So none of these characters are necessarily people you want to bring home and bring home to your mom or have a beer with, but they also are people that have a lot of really great qualities as well. I love that, the great aspect of these characters.
Moderna, J&J will eventually work with Dan Baruch, and we'll evidence that. BioNTech will work with Pfizer. We have here a range of successes in the future. Nobody knows it at the time. We have one more to introduce, Novavax. When we come back, Gail Smith and Insects. This is CBSI in the World. The book is A Shot to Save the World, the inside story of the life or death race for a COVID-19 vaccine. Gregory Zuckerman of the Wall Street Journal is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has a spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.